All right, first of all, Lila's daughter, Leanne, was taken in today for the hospital for a test of lymphoma. Okay, y'all got that down. Please be in prayer. We don't know if it is. If it is, we don't know yet. Okay, so be in prayer that God's will be done in her life. And Captain Brian Clark, who is Gigi's nephew in New York, got a call and said, come to the hospital now. Do not pass go. Do not go to jail. Do not do it. You come straight now. And he went to the hospital. And today, they did a emergency surgery on his back spine. They think they've got all the cancer, but they're not sure. So our prayer will be that they did get all the cancer and that Captain Clark has speedy recovery. Keep us posted. And Lila, you keep us posted on Leanne. Okay, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
I have a friend of mine who went in for a biopsy today. Her name's Canary. She works for me. Don't know the results. Don't know what she was actually going in for other than the biopsy. So if we could pray for her to be at peace and the results
are good. And her first name?
Canary.
Canary, okay. Please be in prayer. And
continue to pray for Candace Freeman as she's back home, but they're considering.
And she's out of the hospital.
Right, but they're considering whether she might need to go back. Her health is still very uncertain right now. She's weak and not sure she's on the right direction of healing, so just be in prayer for wisdom there.
Why did they let her leave the hospital?
Well, they thought pneumonia, and they were thinking mono, so the antibiotics that they gave them were more than pneumonia. And but she's not able to keep the antibiotics down at this time, and her fever is rising, and her breathing is labored.
Dr. Courtney, you better be glad you're not here, because we have a small assembly, but we have a lot of sick people. However, they're all over the place. All right, we'll be in prayer. Please be in prayer for Judith. She has been not feeling well the last several days, much to her regret. And tomorrow she goes into the doctor, so I'll take her to the hospital early in the morning. So please be in prayer for Judith. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Jill Alanis, she was diagnosed with bone cancer. A mother of three. She's in her early 30s or late 30s. And in her knee, and she's going to have surgery and chemo. Just pray for her healing.
And what is her name?
Jill Alanis.
Let's be in prayer for Jill. You've heard these prayer requests, people. You have the power because, in my opinion, a mass of Christians do not know how to pray in the power of the Spirit. They do not know how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. You do. And therefore, your prayers top priority as far as the listening of God. So please put these names down. Please be in prayer for them. They need your prayers. That's why we bring them up. Yes.
The teenage girl that I've been praying for, Kaylee,
yes.
I think she's a believer. She's been having troubles with a boyfriend, and so last night she left the house, to stay with a friend or something. And just pray that, I don't know whether she hits a wall and understands that there are certain rules in life that that she turns to Christ, because I know she's not living in walking by faith. I think she's a believer.
17 years old and rebelling against life. Yeah. So we need to be in prayer. She just left her home, said, I'm out of here, and no phone, no car, no money, and thanks the world owes to take care of her. So please be in prayer. All right, any other prayer requests? Okay. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm most thankful, most appreciative of you being here. And I'm not going to take too much time. Bill and Pat Risley. Bill was a bomber pilot from 70 to 74. While I was sitting at a desk in seminary, he was out protecting me flying a bomber. And not over Dallas, though. And then and he met Pat about that time. And I'm going to let him tell the story, how they decided to go to Mexico. And people, when you look up the word missionary, you see this family's picture. Why do I say that? They didn't go there and stay in some nice hotel. They didn't go there and stay over there and then come home and then go back. They went over there and lived where the people they ministered to lived. I'll never forget one time I went down, John and I went, and they were on the coast and stayed in this little trailer that had no power whatsoever, no bathroom facility, but that's where the people that they were ministering to were. And I took about a mile and a half walk along this way over here, and they were gorgeous, beautiful homes. $500,000 homes, swimming pool, here's the ocean, here's a swimming pool. I came back and I told Grady, I said, now here's the deal, Grady. You live where those you're ministering to. I'm going to minister to them, so that's where I've got to live. I got to live one of those really nice homes. But they are true missionaries. I am so thankful for the last month in this church's history. We started off with the continent of Africa, from Dan and Pat. Then we had the Fassels from the continent of Asia. And today we go to the continent of North America, to Mexico. So just such a great privilege having Bill and Pat and Courtney with us. Bill, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Herman. I've got a PowerPoint presentation, and I want to explain that we just finished our 25th year on the mission field. And, you know, I know I'm a tough-looking guy, but I'm really kind of soft and melancholy. So I'm going to get kind of, hopefully not emotional, but as I look back, And see what the Lord has done. Herman knew what he was talking about when he talked about prayers. I found that if I say what I want people to understand, about the only way I can do it is tell you first off what I want you to get out of what I'm saying. And so what I want to teach you and get across to you is your power is what makes the difference in a missionary's ministry. You know, Jesus, I think it's in Matthew 29, looked out and it says he had compassion on the people. They were like lost sheep. And he turned to his disciples and he said, the fields of harvest are ripe. And he said, now, if it had been me, I would have said, all those people are ready to receive Christ. Why don't you get busy and go out and present the gospel? Isn't that common sense? Isn't that the way we think? But, you know, he didn't. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers. And that's not the way I was thinking when we went there, and what I want to try to explain today is I finally reached the point where I figured it out, and I'm turning it over to Grady. And for those of you who know Grady, that's a scary thing. And but we'll get through. I'm going to present basically the first 18 years of the ministry, and then I'll turn it over to Courtney. But this is what we were about. We were about 4 years from when we left for the mission field. And you see the frames in the back? Those are the missionaries we supported. Now there's three missionaries that we supported that are very important. One, and by the way, there's a lesson here. Be careful what you say, especially if your wife's there. We had a missionary that is a Baptist missionary, and obviously Baptist churches were supporting him. And there's one thing that's always consistent in Baptist churches. There are Baptist churches who have split, and there are Baptist churches who are going to split. But they will split. Well, this missionary, this particular missionary, was from a Baptist mission board, and the Baptist mission board split. And he was given the choice of going with one part of the split or the other. And if you went with one, the other one dropped you. And so he was in the United States trying to get support so he could get to the field. And his dad was a member of Lester Roloff's church that was in Corpus Christi. And he said that, and this was a long, long time ago, he went forward on a Sunday night and told Lester Roloff, he says, God's called me to the mission field. And he says, well, what's your next step? And he says, well, I got to wait for a while because my truck needs fit, so I figure we'll leave on Wednesday. And that's how he thought. And Wednesday he took off, went to across the border with five of his children, and one of them was this missionary that we supported. And I, you know, knowing that God would never call me to the mission field, I said, Pat, God ever wants us on the mission field, we're just going to go. And she heard me say that. And this is the summer before we left. And right about this time, one of the missionaries we supported was named Kirk, and he was a missionary in Haiti. And Grady went and spent 3 months with him. And during that time, he would call every other week with the same story. He says, Dad, I've talked to people that have never heard of Jesus Christ. And he said, it is amazing. They don't argue with you. They don't fight. They just say, my goodness. And they pray and turn their life over to Christ. He says, it's amazing. And so that got Pat and I thinking, oops, I really messed up. That got Pat and I. Herman, could I have some light? Because I got to turn this back. Oh, I see. I'm not what you call high tech. This is the summer where Grady, well, actually it was January of this year before he went. And now how come? There. Okay. Now this is before now. We started thinking, Pat and I started thinking, and she says, you said this, and you said this. And by the time she got done, 4th of July that year was on a Sunday. I announced to the church we were going to leave and go to Mexico. We spent a month in prayer as a family, and I mean all night. Every one of us would be praying at one time. And summer would get me, I'd start, and we'd go on through the family. And I'm not saying that's how you need to make your decisions, but that's what Pat told me to do. And so, and by the way, Pat, if you want to add anything while I'm speaking, just feel free. I've learned she does that anyway, so. Okay, and I'm going to present some heroes to you. And I mean, these are people that taught us things, and the Lord used these people to teach us things on the field. And the first one is from the second village we were there. We had a pop-up camper. When we crossed the border, we didn't have any support. I couldn't use a mission board because we were too old. So we had a pop-up camper. We had given our house to a quadriplegic man who was a member of the church. We sold most everything else and used that to buy a pop-up camper. And we loaded that pop-up camper with macaroni and cheese and summer sausage. And so on Saturday nights, we'd have some of that summer sausage with the macaroni and cheese. And That's the way we were living. This is the second village. When we were popping up the camper, we drew a crowd of about, and there's about 200 people in this village. And all the ladies of the village gathered around to watch these crazy gringos do their thing with this thing that they cranked up. And this lady came over and talked to Amber. Courtney was in the trailer sick. And she says, I think this lady would talk to us. So Courtney, she was the only one fluent in Spanish at the time, went out, led her to the Lord. And this lady says, are you going to be here for a while? And she says, yeah. I says, wait 15 minutes and I'll be back. Well, she didn't say wait 15 minutes. She says, I'll be back. She came back with a lady who was her sister and says, I want my sister to know about Jesus. And Courtney opened the Bible and started to read the verse to her. Amber was 11, Courtney was 14. And she opened up the Bible, and the lady stopped her and says, no. Says, you show me the verses. I want to tell my sister about Jesus Christ. Save 15 minutes and led her first soul to Christ. And you kind of get the idea that I ought to be able to handle this. All I got to do is crank up a camper, and, you know, we've led a soul to Christ. And so, I consider Maria a Hebrew, a hero. Okay, this is the second hero. This is Maestro Victor. If you can imagine, we didn't really make a lot of important decisions about money. We never thought about what would happen when we run out of macaroni. And there come a time, well, Victor was in our trailer, and the wind was blowing, and he was scared to death. I mean, he thought the thing was going to fall apart. So he was the teacher in the village. He says, we got a house over there for teachers that nobody's living in. I'll let you move in there. And so we moved in, and a family in Sierra Vista gave us a refrigerator, and it was one of these old ones that was round on the top. So we brought that in, and we get our first electric bill, and it was, I think it was 300 pesos, which is, at that time, we had just come in from the United States with groceries, and there were some friends that were supporting us, and we were flat broke. And so we had talked about it, and we had decided, We've got the camper. We'll go in, get a campsite, Sierra Vista. We'll get some jobs. Grady and I will get some, you know, minimum wage type jobs, get some money, and go back. Well, we drove in, and Victor goes over, and the next day, Pat and I drove in. We said, we'll give the post office box one more shot. There wasn't any money there. When we passed through the village, Victor left school and went over and says, where's your mom and dad going? They got groceries yesterday. Why do they need to go anyplace? And Courtney explained the whole thing. He says, you tell them to talk to me. So when we get back, we got back. There wasn't any money there, so we were getting ready to pack up and go in and work till we got some money to go back. And Victor said, what are you going to do? And says, we got to go back, Victor. I said, we don't have the money, and we're not we can't stay down here. And he says, are you mad at us? I said, no. And he says, well, I've talked to the village. He says, we're going to pay your electric bill. And I said, we can't let you do that. And I said, we did not come to Mexico to take away from the people. And he said, you have brought us Jesus Christ. We ought to be able to pay your electric bill. It was the most humbling experience of my life. And, you know, if that's the way God's going to do it, who am I to say no? And so, from that point on, we have not, I've never sent a fundraising letter, or we never asked for money. and God has always provided for us, no matter what our needs were. And so there's my second hero. This lady, we led to the Lord 2 weeks before we left the village we were in. This is San Pedro. This is where my Maestro Victor was. And we went to a village called Kitaka. And about a week later, we'd only been there a week, this lady comes through. She had a sister in Kitaka, which we had no idea. And she says, I heard you were here, and I'm going to Hermosillo, and I'm going to present Christ to my mother, and I'm going to get my mother saved. And she says, but would you write down the verses so I know where to go? And so Pat wrote down the verses, and she left, led her mother to the Lord. And Pat says, I've got an idea. Let's write some lessons. And I know there's a tendency to say there's all kind of lessons in Spanish. And there are. But most of them, you know, if you're going to write a lesson in Spanish, you're going to use good Spanish, right? Well, the people in these villages, they don't speak good Spanish. And you have, we've had some Wycliffe translators come down and visit with us, and they say this is terrible, and it is, but you have to write the language to the people that are listening to the language. And I've never learned any of it, figured out any of it, but Courtney has, and she knows how to speak to people. And so we consider this a hero too. This is a lady. The hero there is the one on the left. She couldn't read. There's a lot of bad eyes in Mexico, and people can't read. And the Bibles we were using were $2.50 at the time, and the print was terribly small. Pat decided, I'm going to. What size print did you use? 18 point, and you know, it ended up being quite lengthy, but we only gave them the books that we taught. And so we saved money that way. It's not an entire Bible, but how many? 40 books? 50? Well, that's only two. It is a whole bunch. It is a whole bunch. See, that's three. You know, I've got to. There we go. Some of you may have heard John talk about, these are members of John's church. This is the man that got me to go up and meet John after about 6 months harassment. And John is the pastor who, after 6 months of harassment by this man, said, okay, bring him up, let's get it over with. And, you know, John, after I spoke, he got up and he says, you know, this is my kind of missionary, because he said he had no idea what he was doing. Go figure. Go figure. The lady to the left is responsible for financing our Christmas projects. And she wins it. She wins their money at bingo. And so I suppose there is a way you could say that we're supported by the Catholic Church. But every year, and folks, it's not $100, $200. She wins big. And she's just a blessing. And I better not say anymore. And this is one of our Christmas projects. This is Amber. This lady. Now, I don't want you to think of this in terms of, boy, we're fortunate to meet these people. You're responsible for these people. This is not normal behavior in Mexico, okay? These are answers to your prayer. I mean that. I know me. And I know what I'm capable of, and I know what my abilities are. And I've got nothing to do with this. Honest to goodness, this is the power of God as seen through your intercessory prayers. This lady, Pat goes in to teach this lady. She had to walk about half a mile probably in 100 degree heat. Well, she knocks on the door, nobody comes to the door, so She comes back to our house. And about 3 hours later, the lady comes down and said, "Why didn't you come and teach me?" And she says, "I did, but nobody would come to the door." And she's eyes in the back, sleeping, and had the fan on me. So the next day, she says, "Well, come tomorrow, and I'll be there." Pat went tomorrow. The lady was sleeping on the floor in front of the door, so she would help, so she would be there. This lady, Pat, we started teaching her. Pat goes for the second lesson, and about a third of the blanks, it's like fill in the blank. You look at the verse and you fill it in, and about a third of the blanks, the lines where the answers were supposed to be were blank. And she says, "Well, did you have trouble with these words?" And she says, "Well, the answer is Dios." And Pat says, "Yeah." Says, I don't know how to make a capital D." And she would not write Dios without capitalizing the D. For somebody to care like that and to get us to them, that's prayer. That's the power of your prayers. And listen, I know this lady, Amber, was teaching the boy in the picture, and he came over and he says, can you talk to your mom, get her to teach my mother?" Says, sure. Well, says, "But, why are you coming to ask?" And says, she has stolen my Bible and she steals my lessons, and I don't get to answer him." So, I don't know if you remember, but we went by her house when we were coming out of, when you were visiting, Herman. That's one of the houses we mentioned. Amber, we had a boy die of leukemia, and while he was being treated for leukemia, we made trip after trip. We used to get calls. We'd have people come over to the house and say, "Listen to the radio," and they say they're calling for you, and this is our first radio ministry. And they would say, "Well, the gringos in Jesse says, go find some people to bring down for blood for remote." When we did so, we found out there was 100, 150 people sleeping on the grounds of the hospital because they had to save their money. It was a children's hospital for all of Sonora. They had to save their money to buy medicine. And if you had a baby that needed oxygen, they'd bring in one of those green welding tanks, crack it, and you would have to hold the end of the hose at your baby's face for it to get oxygen. But medical care is free in Mexico, so, but that's what you get. And we've talked about paper houses. When Amber and her husband, this is Jose, were ministering at the hospital, they went to the poor areas during the days, and that's what we call a paper house. But this lady had about 25 other families she was teaching, and Amber was providing her the lessons. But none of these houses have electric this is another hero. We didn't leave this lady to the Lord. She came, Pat was teaching her daughter. She came in, and her daughter says, "Mom, you got to hear this," and said, "No." No, and she says, "I can't, I'm in a hurry," but she took a lesson in the Bible. She came back. Later on, and she came back and back and back for more lessons and more lessons. I'll mention more about Beatrice before we're done. I mentioned one time when we were at John's church that we were going to, at this time, we were in, this is the same time that we met Beatrice. We were in a village called San Lázaro. We were printing a case of paper a month. And we decided we're going to have Nate take lessons to these villages. And I mentioned it at John's church, and this group up here, other than John, they said, "We'll take lessons for you." And I said, "Well, how are we going to?" He says, "We'll print them." And so we put all our lessons on the files on CDs. They members of the church started printing these lessons. So once a month, they would take clothes, lessons, and they would keep me informed what lessons they were taking down. And then people from the villages that in which we administered would go to four spots that we there were four sites they would drop these lessons off, and the people from the villages would come, get the lessons they need, and take them back to their villages. They did that for a couple years, and I kept track of the lessons they would brought. They'd tell me what lessons. Folks, in that 2.5 years, and the only reason they stopped was because there was a big turf war from some cartels, and they were killing people. And it was just too dangerous to make the trip. Over 50,000 lessons over that year they took to Mexico and distributed. One of the places they distributed was Beatrice, and I don't know if this is the next slide or not. There's Grady in prison. Larry was scheduled to be there at a certain Sunday. He didn't go. He had van trouble or something, and he went the week after. And he got there, and Beatrice, the lady that I showed you, came out and said, "You know, you're a week late." And he says, "Well, I know I had trouble." She says, "You know, if you tell me you're going to be here, it's important you to be here." He says, "There was a lady that walked 4 hours over the desert to get lessons. And when she got here, I had to tell her that I didn't have any because you didn't come." And so you don't cross Beatrice. But I'll tell you about Beatrice. We never saw her. She always had two shoes on. We never saw her once with a pair that matched. She had maybe three teeth. And, you know, if we were to go out and say, "I want somebody to go out and represent the Lord," she'd be the last person. But she showed Larry a notebook of the people she had led to Christ and what lessons they were on and their name. 1,500 people she had led to the Lord. And she lived in the desert. What the third village, remember the village that we were in when that lady came through on the way to Hermosillo? We were there for about 3 months. The people had some kind of satanic practice that they would pour chicken blood and look like flour on their children and they'd get sick. And we told them, says, "If you got to stop this hadn't anything." Well, they didn't stop, so we left. She led every family of that village to the Lord. You know, when we had failed, she went and she won them. And if that's not a hero, now, Grady took this picture. He ended up preaching in a total of 5 prisons. Now, this is at the end of our 18 years. And this was when, you know, we got too old. We couldn't take the, we were sleeping in tents. We had to find something else to do. And so we ended up with having these little house churches in over 120 villages, 30 ranches, Grady's 6th prison, there was 3 orphanage, a medical clinic, the Deaf Hospital, which is a children's hospital. And we started that's when we started the soup kitchen, the Bible Institute later, the old folks home, and Christmas projects. Now, it's time for some more heroes. This is after the villages, and I'm getting close to turning it over to Courtney. John, and I list Courtney a hero. She wanted to go to medical school. They said, "We won't accept." And she was a certified EMT at the time. She did her research and what it'd take to get in medical school down there. And they told her, "We won't accept any of your education. You're going to have a Mexican education." So she spent 2 years starting at first grade in an adult program, and went through all the way through 12 grades in those 2 years in Mexico. So she'd have a certified Mexican high school diploma. She calls the medical school. She goes down and takes the pretest. They accept her in the medical school. And I was listening to her on the phone. And she says, yes, yes, okay, well, we'll be there. And she was supposed to be on August 21st of that year. And we were to show up with the first year's tuition. That number amount, I really don't remember what it was. But it was more money than we had received in offerings the previous year. And so I tell Courtney, that's more money than we have received in the whole previous year, Courtney. And she says, if God wants me to go to medical school, we'll have the money. And that's what she said. That was the 1st of June. The 1st of July, we had no money. And I wasn't going to tell people, hey, you know, we really. 1st of August, we didn't have any money. But the 18th of August, we had the money. And so I spent 20 hours getting there, 24 hours to get there. And the whole time, I was listening to na, 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 na. But John calls her a steel rod covered with marshmallow. Okay? Now we get to Grady. Grady is a marshmallow covered with a steel rod. This guy is the softest heart. He just loves the men that he takes care of, protects them, and he told me to use this picture. He said you would understand. But John is, I don't think I have a friend that's closer. And he's just a blessing, and he does nothing but give us wisdom. If there's a problem, we call him. I thank God for John Hintz. He's a good man. He loves the Lord, and he'll call and give me a list of all the things that are wrong. And he says, "But of course, you understand, I have the gift of encouragement." And so he's a hero. Now the other one, and he doesn't know this, but Grady is the way Grady is because of John and Herman. And I told him, I said, this afternoon, I said, you have no idea the number of times I hear, well, Herman says this, or John says this, and I get sick of it. And now, all I'm going to hear is, well, Grandpa Herman does this for me, why don't you? And there were three kids today. And the biggest one and the loudest one is sitting in the back of the room. And it's going to take a long time to get over the stuff. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but Stephanie, you have no idea the effect you had. Because the whole process, Grady lives his life thinking, how is this going to happen? Or how is this going to happen? Or how is this going to happen? What am I going to do? He said, when you are mom and God, who is going to support this ministry? And that's a good question if they know Grady. But Grady, it worries about this. And he says, and I said, look, I said, we came down here with nothing. I said, God will take care of you. And the whole process of getting an ultrasound, you know, it is the only ultrasound in that part of Mexico. And if you have to drive 2 hours over a mountain to get to a city that has an ultrasound. And Grady just he just, his whole attitude was one of laughter. You'll never get it in. You'll never get it in. This is Mexico. We aren't going to bribe anybody in. You'll never get it in. And so when we finally got it in, we went in, and and Grady looked at the ultrasound, and the whole way back to the village, I was saying, na, 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 you know, because only God could have done it. I'm serious. And you changed, Stephanie, the way Grady thinks. And he may think so little. You may think that's not a big deal, but it is. It is. It has helped him prepare for the ministry. And God, there's nothing. There's not a single thing that God cannot accomplish with your prayers. And every letter I write, I always thank everybody for their prayers. Because I know that's why these things happen. And I might mention that the lady besides Stephanie is also a hero, because I don't know anybody that would be willing to do what she did. And I've said it before, when we crossed that border the first time, I thought, I looked back in the van. I could see it now. There's Courtney back there just saying, oh boy, you know. Oh look, the guards have guns, you know. Everything's exciting. Grady's back there kind of the same way. Nathan is. Summer thought it was great. Amber, oh, it was just fantastic. And Pat, she said, oh boy, finally we get here, you know. And I was this one thinking, how crazy am I to be doing this? And so now you see why I didn't understand. I would have never recognized you, Stephanie. I saw some Courtney talking to you, and I, when's Stephanie going to get here? So. Okay, now I'm going to turn it over to Courtney. And the reason, this is what John told me. He says, you need to go on this trip, and you need Courtney to speak, because they need to know there's going to be somebody there when you die. And so, I don't know when that's going to happen, but here's Courtney.
Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about our ministries, where we're ministering now, and how we got started on the soup kitchen. The man next to me and the lady next to him is his wife. He was the mayor of our town about, I think, 7 years ago. And at the time, I was really concerned about a lot of the older people that would come to the office, because a lot of them lived alone. Their kids would grow up and go to Hermosillo and live in Hermosillo. And the people who live in the village, they absolutely hate the city. They just wouldn't go down. And their kids are like, well, you want us to take care of you, you have to come live with us. And so a lot of times they end up there, you know, alone without anybody to take care of them. And especially concerning for some of the not widows, what do you call widow when he's a man? Widowers, okay. A lot of the widowers, they don't know how to fix food, and so they just eat tortillas or whatever they could come up with, and a lot of them were malnourished. So this building was empty, and it's a decent-sized building. They used to use it as a library, a school. It had different uses throughout the years. And so I talked to the mayor, and he agreed to let us use this building as a soup kitchen. And when it started out, we would bring a lot of the older people in, and we would feed them breakfast, lunch, and we would give them a sack lunch to take home for dinner at night. Okay. Grady, he's like, that's a terrible idea. That'll never work. Anyway, we got this soup kitchen going, and it ended up being really difficult for me to do the medical and the soup kitchen. And Grady said, you know, I'll run the soup kitchen. He says, I'll take over the soup kitchen, and you work more on the medical. And so this is our Valentine's party, and this is one of the ladies. She dressed up as a clown for our Valentine's party, and she painted a tattoo on Grady's arm with her name, Doña Gloria. Okay, this is a typical day at the soup kitchen. Actually, some of this is a group that came up to visit the soup kitchen, because those people are young looking. Yeah, they came up to visit the soup kitchen. And a lot of the town, they'll have the schools, they'll have the kids come up and do different dances and come and visit the older folks. And this is Cheryl. She's the soup kitchen cook and Grady Tamer. He always talks about how he keeps his wife in order, but he does what Cheryl tells him to do. Okay. When we have the people come into the soup kitchen, you know, we feed them, but our main purpose is to give them the gospel. So everybody gets a gospel. A lot of times we'll put on Christmas Christian movies for them, and they especially love the ones where there's cows and horses and that kind of stuff. And so everybody gets a gospel. Most of these people, some of them can't read and write, but a lot of them, they can't see well enough. They try to do the studies, but we teach them, and we have a once-a-week Bible class on Thursdays for everybody at the soup kitchen. But this man, his name is Ramon, and Ramon has a terrible problem with asthma. He had a terrible problem with asthma. But he couldn't use an inhaler. So many people tried to teach him to use an inhaler, but he couldn't inhale it. He would always blow out the vapor. He couldn't handle it. Well, and I had treated him many times where I thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get him out of this one. And he always had Cheryl bake him a cake in March because he made it through February. And he lived in a house with no heat and just drafty, and it was really just like a storage shed. They had a room they turned into a bedroom. And Ramon, he was about 2 years ago, he went to be with the Lord, and it was in February, the end of January or February, but he had his uncle read a letter at the funeral that he didn't want us to be sad for him, that he was in heaven and he wasn't in any more pain. And Ramon was very faithful to the soup kitchen. Whenever the doors were open, he was there. These are all people that are up the soup kitchen. And as we were seeing this progress of the soup kitchen, we come to realize that there's people that their just houses were not in any condition for them to live in. And especially in wintertime. And then there were times where we'd get the summer storms and the tin would blow off their roofs. So the first three people that we had living at that Grady made rooms for them to live at the soup kitchen. One, the roof blew off his house. The other, his house just caved in. And remember the other one. I don't remember who the other one was. Anyway, I'll remember in a minute. These are all people, a lot of them come to the soup kitchen. Some have gone to be with the Lord. Right now, none of these are living at the soup kitchen. This lady here, her name was Mana, and she was always come to the soup kitchen. She loved the Lord. And she had a stroke April of this year and went to be with the Lord. Yes, I'm going to talk about the clinic in just a minute. I can't go through everybody. Okay, right now we have 12 and 15 people who live at the soup kitchen, and right now 5 of those have to be cared for. They can't walk or they have severe Alzheimer's, and so there's 3 that in the mornings Grady has to go in and get them to the bathroom, and they're just covered in poop. So, wanted to. We don't have time to go through all of them. I will talk about this man up at the very top left, Sungo. Sungo was a town drunk. Police would always pick him up off the side of the street. You know, everybody's just like, that's a town drunk. He's just a town drunk. And he lived in a paper shack with no floor and no door. They just hung a blanket on him. He had severe lung problems and breathing problems. And every winter I would treat him and think, I'm not sure he's going to make it through this one. Well, we had a winter, 3 winters ago. It was a very, very cold winter. And Grady talked to me, says, you know, we don't have space right now, but I'll put a cot by the wood-burning stove. He says, you want to come down there? And so he brought Sungo down, and Sungo stayed down there. And amazingly enough, he stopped being the town drunk. He stopped drinking, and he stayed there. Since then, Grady has built a room on. And since now he's not out in the weather, his lung problems are basically gone. And people are amazed when they see him because he was just the town drunk and he doesn't drink anymore. He loves the Lord. And these are more people. Not all of them live at the soup kitchen, but they all come. Some of them have gone to be with the Lord. Mom and Dad had a ministry, Meals on Wheels, because there are certain people that just couldn't get down there, especially some of the ladies that couldn't leave their homes. So Mom and Dad would take them. This lady, her name was Micha, and they took her meals for a long time. But she got cancer and went to be with the Lord about a year and a half ago. Oh, and she loved watching movies about Jesus. Okay, let's see what this is. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about the medical clinic. And I was going to explain, Stephanie donated an ultrasound machine to the medical clinic about 3 years ago. And Mom and Dad came and got it, and they took it. We had it in somebody's house in Nogales, and we tried to bring it down several times. But the people who could get it down, they would say, we'll bring it down, but you have to let us have it. And then other people would say, well, we can get it down, and they'd always come back and say, we just can't do it. Well, this last December, the mayor said he would get it down, and he ended up bribing a border guard. Wasn't us. Okay, so it might be difficult to picture this, okay, but we have a town where we have the county seat, the town, Baviakara, and it has about 7 little, or 8 different little villages that depend on it. And in between all the villages, about 5,000 people, and there is me and one other doctor, a student doctor, and we're the only doctors for all these people. And so it's very difficult at times, and if we have a patient who's very sick and we call the ambulance does not have EMTs or paramedics. If one of us has to go if they require medical treatment, which a lot of times that means then there's no doctor in town until we get back. It takes 2 hours to get to the hospital in Hermosillo. And since we have so many people that want to study, and I have patients that come from many villages up the road, we decided to make the clinic the seat of our Bible Institute. So everybody who comes to the clinic, they get a chance to get lessons, and Bibles, and then I treat patients that have a certain medical insurance for teachers, and so they come once a month, and they'll get more lessons. So this is how it's hard for us to go house to house and reach everybody, so this is one of the ways we do it now. Let's see. We have like 25, 30 different Bible studies, and each one of those studies has between 5 and 20 books in it, and so they don't run out of lessons. We always have, and crosswords, so. This is Sungo's house. it has since fallen down, but this is where Sungo used to live. This is a lot of the women, a lot of times people down there used to, you know, take care of me, you know, we have our problems, we got to do what we can. And they'd seen what we've done in the soup kitchen. Like, how can we help? You know, what can we do? And you know, this is, we want to be a part of this. So I created a group, an association called Bipadis. B for Bill, Pa for Pat, and Reese for Risley. So what we do, we're a group of women. One lady runs what they call the soup kitchen dinner squad, and there's about 200 women in that group. And they go once, it ends up being like every 2 months, and they take, it's their turn to go and take dinner. And they do their best for dinner for the people at the soup kitchen, so Grady doesn't have to worry about dinner anymore. We also, we're helping two young women study to be paramedics, so hopefully, you know, they're going to study and they're going to come back and work in the town, so that's going to be a help. We also raise money. Last month, there was a young girl who needed a CAT scan. It was 5,000 pesos. What's that, $300 maybe? And her family couldn't come up with the money, so we made a bunch of tamales and food and sold it, and we were able to come up with the money for to get that. For her, we do different things like that. We've bought medical equipment for the town, for the ambulance. And a couple months ago, the lady said, you know, we really need to be praying for our town. There was several fatal accidents with young people because they were drinking and driving. And so we meet every Wednesday, and we pray for the town, for different problems that people are facing in our town. And we do a little Bible study. Okay, this is one of our, I think this was 3 years ago, isn't it? One of our Thanksgiving, that's Cheryl, Amber, and Amy. Amy is one, two, three, four, the fifth down. She and her husband work at the soup kitchen also. They help out, especially on Saturdays. They give Grady a day off so he can rest. Oh, Josh is the one that's sticking out his tongue back there. Yeah. Very photogenic. Oh, yes. That's actually Amber's youngest baby, Noah. That's my... Is there any questions, anything?
Okay, I think you've gotten an idea of what I mean. These are missionaries. They're right there where the people are that they minister. They live where they live. They eat what they eat. If they don't eat, they don't eat. And it is just amazing how many people, Amber, Courtney, Grady, all the children, Bill and Pat, have led to the Lord. And we studied the judgment seat of Christ. And there's a crown for those leading others to Christ. It's a challenge to all of us to tell others of Jesus Christ. Now, before we leave, this is no pressure on anyone, but I want to take an offering. And Brian, can we have a little music, a little offering music, kind of motivate us? Mormon Tabernacle Choir or something? Which, by the way, is no... Yes!
Are pretty much everybody believers now, or do you still have some that are denying the Lord?
I would say nobody denies the Lord. We teach them. Anytime somebody reads and they say, how could I not accept Jesus? They accept him. The difficult part is there's so many people that we haven't been able to reach them.
Okay. I didn't know from the size, you know, if you have had them reach them.
There have been villages where the entire village turned to Christ.
Okay.
And,
Oh,
wow.
Amazing. Yeah.
I have another question. At the soup kitchen is primarily elderly people, and obviously you're seeing a lot of people going on to be with the Lord. Is there, within the 5,000 other people that you're treating for help, is it mostly elderly people in that area? Or do you have some youth? You've got some people who are going to go to school. You've got
youth
activities. Or, no, like...
Any other questions for Courtney? Bill, Pat, any questions for anyone? Okay. Thank you all so very much for taking your time. Come down to our area. I know you got to get back to Mexico and time for the hurricane coming through. But thank you, Bill, coming through, bringing through, Courtney. Thank you. Had a wonderful day yesterday and today. The two little guys and I, we just had a great time. And every time the little guy would scream, I'd scream louder. He just looked at me like, what are you doing? So let's close in a word of prayer. And people, I hope and I pray that between Africa, Pakistan, Mexico, that it has given some enthusiasm for missionary activity here, and supporting missionaries and finding missionaries that are straight on the gospel, that we can be a part. Remember, the Word of God makes it very clear. We're here in Dallas, but if we support a missionary in Mexico and they lead people to Christ, we share in that glory at the judgment seat of Christ. We studied that, supported with Scripture. So please remember that. Let's close in a word of prayer, and we're going to pray for Risley's and Courtney and the children to get home safely in all the weather that they're going to be encountering. And so, by the way, I don't mind telling you, James Webb went home to be with the Lord, as you know, and his daughter gave to me, the church, his automobile. And it's been sitting there in front of our house, and Judith said, well, maybe the Risleys need it. And certainly, it turned out that they do. So they're going to be driving home James's 02 Toyota, whatever it is. And so we have prayer that they get home safely, and we got to pray for the title. That's going to be a big mess. So, because James didn't sign it, and it has his name on it, and I don't know how we're going to do all of that, but the Lord will work it all out, the political stuff. So, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've given to us the privilege of knowing the Risleys and their ministry, Courtney and her ministry. That's our privilege to be a prayer support, a financial support of leading others to Christ. And as you know, Heavenly Father, my friend John Hinn says, because of the Risleys, there's going to be a lot of tacos in heaven. And we just praise you, Father. We thank you for every one of those people that they have ministered, witnessed to, that are going to be in heaven for all eternity. And Father, we thank you for this assembly. Pray that we will continue to support. And Father, we pray now to be with the Risleys and Courtney as they drive home. Watch over their vehicles. Watch over their driving. Give the children a quiet spirit. Let them get home safely, Father. And bring them back for more report. Father, I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. In your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.